Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do him like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Kelly Kroll in for Mike Mulligan today. We're pleased to welcome KC Johnson, who joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. KC covers the Chicago Bulls for the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, KC. How are you?
Good morning to both of you. How are you doing?
Doing well. So yesterday was a big day at the Advocate Center. The Bulls introduced their first and second round draft picks, Coby White and Daniel Gafford. What was your biggest takeaway? To me, I thought Coby White came across as very humble, confident, but Gafford stole the show because I thought he really seemed like he had an electric personality.
Yeah, I would agree. That would be, if you're talking just about personality at the press conference, that would be my biggest takeaway, that Daniel Gafford is it seems very genuine, and it's going to be fun to talk to. The biggest takeaway would just be that Jim Boylan's obviously strong presence was on the dais, and his points about soul and spirit fitting into the vision of the Bulls moving forward, along with their on-court talent, is still pretty prevalent. We'll see how these guys play. I thought that it was made abundantly clear that that fans are going to need to be patient for both these players. Obviously, Kobe's only 19, and Gafford's coming out after his sophomore year. So, that the preteen patience aspect to the timeline of the rebuild is still prevalent as well.
KC, I think that's a really good point. I took away that same tone from the Bulls brass yesterday as well. So how do you see this working out? More so with Coby White at first, I thought it was interesting when he was asked about the situation he's stepping into with Chris Dunn. He mentioned having needed to prove himself at every level. How does that work moving forward for him?
Well, I mean, I think they've been pretty clear that they just were going to bring somebody in and just let the battle play out in training camp. Now, I'm fairly certain they're not done at point guard either. I don't think they're going to get a front name player anymore in free agency, but I think they're pretty set on adding at least one more veteran player at that position. Ryan Arcidiacono has a small chance to be back, so there's going to be a lot of competition there. And I thought, you're right, Kelly, I thought Coby handled that pretty well. He mentioned how last year not everybody really even expected him to start his freshman year at North Carolina, and he won that position. So, look, if he can play, he's going to start. If he can't, he's going to come off the bench. He's going to play minutes regardless of just whether or not he's starting. I do think that the Chris Dunn situation is potentially got some powder keg material to it, because Chris is a pretty proud and headstrong individual. But he's also got very little trade value, and he's on a rookie deal. So, he comes across as somebody that can play minutes for you on a affordable contract. So we'll just see how it all plays out. But Kobe's going to play. It's just whether he's starting or coming off the bench.
You mentioned that it was the first time we heard from Jim Boylan since the contract extension. You got him to talk about that. He did not want to discuss the staff additions, which I thought was just odd and awkward and really just kind of underscored just how unusual and unorthodox he can be at times publicly. But that's sort of beside the point, because the one thing I think that he talked about, and the one thing I think that is a big question, is that you draft a point guard in Coby White whose speed is off the charts, and everyone talks about how fast he is. And then automatically you wonder, how fast will the Bulls play? Did you get any sense from Jim Boylan, any better sense about how he feels about that?
Yeah, I thought actually that was where he was at his best, was just talking basketball about Coby, in the sense that you know, he said we've got to be ready to run with this guy. I mean, you know, he said there are too many times last season where we just weren't ready to run. And, you know, whether that's him in a more humane and politically correct way talking about team conditioning, I think there's a little bit of that going on there. I also think, you know, he's talking about, you know, he's putting a shot against some people that need to have that mentality to get out on the wing. And even if you don't have the ball to sprint down the court. So I think he's preparing some of the players for that. And then even more tellingly, he talked about, you know, Kobe needing to improve his decision-making. So, you know, when the opportunities to run are not there. And that is the knock. You know, he's a 19-year-old kid. He's basically relied on his athleticism and speed. He's got to become a better decision-maker. The NBA is a very, as we all know, ball screen heavy league. Kobe acknowledged that, and he's got to learn to play better in pick and roll, and he's got to learn to play better in half court situations, and he's got to learn to play better with, you know, his decision making. And really, that's all young point guards, particularly somebody who's 19 and who's adjusting to the learning curve that is the NBA.
You say that, Casey, about the decision making. I mean, that's something that even Chris Dunn's been criticized for at times,
yep.
Certainly. And so, do you get the sense, though, that fans should be excited about the thought of White out there with Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen? And how quickly can that ascension happen?
I mean, the general feedback that I've been getting from fans that comes across via, you know, my Twitter timeline or email is most people are genuinely happy about this selection. They think he's a talent, and look, this team needs talent. You know, you mentioned how quickly it can happen. Again, that really comes back to Kobe. One thing that we haven't really talked about yet that John Paxson mentioned the night they drafted him on Thursday is that he, you know, they also envision lineups where they can see Kobe and Chris Dunn playing together. You know, Kobe obviously has the ability to play on or off the ball. I think Chris showed last year that obviously he's best on the ball. He doesn't do as well when he's off the ball. So you might see some lineups where Chris is out there as the point guard and Kobe's out there at the shooting guard. So there are a lot of opportunities here. And, you know, in the sense that the Bulls are at the position of the rebuild where they really just need to add talent, I don't think you can argue this pick too much because, you know, you obviously fall from 4 to 7 after the draft lottery, and then to get a guy that's pretty widely regarded as you know, the third best point guard and obviously an athletic talent at 7, I think is about as well as you can do.
So free agency begins Sunday. The Bulls have $23 million roughly in salary cap space. They have needs at point guard. You want to get a shooter, obviously defensive presence. Taj Gibson's name has come up as far as a rumored veteran presence inside that they could maybe come and bring back to Chicago. What are your expectations, KC, in terms of how aggressive the Bulls will be pursuing some of these players, and where does Malcolm Brogdon fit into this equation?
I'd be really surprised if they still go Brogdon. I you know, now that they've drafted Kobe White, he would take up the majority of your salary cap space. You'd have to wait 3 days on the offer sheet. That part about it actually is not as big of a deal now that I mentioned it, because I do think the Bulls are in a position where they're going to be, you know, kind of waiting for some of the musical chairs aspect of free agency to die down before they sign people. I just don't see Brogdon he'd fit wonderfully as a player, but I just don't see it working with Dunn and White and LaVine. So I do think they're going to try to go a shorter term deal for a veteran point guard. And I don't think Beverly is, again, he'd be a fit, but I just don't think price wise or length of term contract wise, he's going to work that way. So you're talking, if you do go, you know, more of the bigger name guys, you're talking Darren Collison or Ricky Rubio, but I think they're ultimately going to end up with a second-tier guy like a Corey Joseph or George Hill if the Bucks end up not guaranteeing him and he becomes an unrestricted free agent, guys like that. You know, that I think George Hill personally would be a pretty nice fit. And he's got a pre-existing relationship with Boylan from San Antonio, so we'll see how that plays out. And then they need to add a shooter and some big man depth. So, you know, they've got the cap space, and then they've got the room exception, So I think they'll be adding three guys via free agency. And you talk about takeaways, the amount of confidence that is emanating from them in terms of who they're targeting and their ability to get them is pretty palpable.
Like they know something?
Yeah, I don't know if they know something, but they just are confident. I think obviously everybody kind of gets a sense of the market before it starts. That's the biggest joke in the NBA, obviously. But I just feel I don't know if it's going to happen quickly or not. I just feel what I'm saying is I'm sensing a lot of confidence that they're going to be able to get who they want in free agency.
Interesting. Are we not talking enough about Daniel Gafford, in your opinion, Casey? I don't. What kind of impact can he have? Will he have? I mean, he made it a point to say he was a center. He feels like he's a true center. And then I think about Wendell Carter Jr. not really getting to play as much as clearly Bulls fans would have liked to have seen him last year. So how does he fit in?
No, it's a good question. I mean, we may be. It's hard to say with second round picks because you know you covered so many. I've covered so many second round picks that you know are talented or work. I do think in terms of his athleticism and opportunity with the lack of effective big men on the roster, I think you might be right. I do think there'll be a chance for him to make a pretty decent impact. I mean, you know, as long as he can catch a pass, he's going to be ahead of Felicio on the depth chart, right? I mean, let's start there.
Yep.
You know, as far as the center thing, you know, I don't really feel like Wendell is a true center. We all wrote about and talked about,
true.
You know, that he kind of struggled against the bigger bodies when he was matched up against them. So I think you're going to see some lineups where they go small with Lowry at center.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendell maybe either on the bench or playing. He wouldn't be playing four. So, yeah, he'd be on the bench there. And I think you'll see some situations where Gafford's playing center and Wendell is playing four alongside Gafford. So he's very athletic. He protects the rim and he runs the floor. So do those three basic things. And I do think you'll see him out there a little bit. It also obviously depends on which free agent they add as a big man. But I do know that there's pretty genuine excitement, and he carries himself very well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big body. He's athletic. He runs the floor. So I think you're going to see him out there next year. How much, that's obviously up to him.
Good stuff, Casey. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Casey.
It, guys. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.